In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Don't worry, your prayers within the smoke will rise. We got a very high ceiling. As we gather this morning, I really felt drawn to focus on this reading from the book of Acts. Now, this is some time past. Jesus has risen. He has ascended into heaven already when this story took place. And this is essentially the time of, this is Pentecost. And Peter gets up and begins to preach. And the thing we need to hear is that Peter is preaching to the Gentiles. Now, in this time, those were not the church people. Amen? These are the folks that had felt they were a little bit outside. You had God's chosen people. And then we had the Gentiles. And this is this time. See, Jesus, through his body and blood, his sacrifice on the cross and his raising again, see, he has opened the door for all people to come to him so that we can come to find our place in God's kingdom. So he's preaching to the non-church people. And as we gather on Easter morning, there's always this well-known, obvious thing. We have a few visitors today. So many folks that are here are church people. Now, some of us here, we're not really church people, are we? We're here, and we're drawn here, we know that. Or maybe you were driven here. Maybe you didn't have a choice. Or maybe it's just easier to be here so that you can make it through lunch at grandma's house later. Doesn't really matter. God has brought you here. Whatever tool he has used for that purpose, I say let's make use of it. So brothers and sisters, let me say this. I know what it's like to not be church people. I know that seems strange. Sometimes I think the church still wonders if I'm not church people. You know, I came to this later in life. I know it couldn't be that late because I'm clearly not that old. But the reality is this. I was brought to church in my late 20s. Thought it would be a good thing for the family. So I did what a lot of dads do. I sent my wife and the kids to go to church. That didn't work very well. My eldest child decided, well, if dad's not going, I'm not going. Middle child decided, well, if dad and Sean aren't going, then I'm not going. And the little one was just a baby, so she didn't have any choice. She was on mom's hip, so off she went. And ladies, hear this. If you got somebody in your life like me, we need you. Need you to love us. My wife loved me. Still does, I believe. She came to me and she said, if you want your kids to be in church and you think it matters, you're going to have to get up and go to church. And I said, well, I'll do it, but if I hate it like I did when I was a kid, I'm not going to keep going. So with that open mind, I went. God did a mighty work. It may not look that great, but he, trust me, he's done a mighty work. And he wants to do a mighty work in you. But see, the church weren't, I'm not church people. And it was in the midst of doing the work day when I discovered maybe I was. See, we see the people in the church, we're like, they're not my people. They don't act like me. They talk about Jesus a lot. They go to church every week. Every single week, there they are. And they seem to really enjoy it, but how is that even possible? Well, I promise you it is. Let me say this to you. Jesus' death and resurrection is so that you can have a relationship with him. The problem the church has is people show up and they want a relationship with the church first and then maybe find a relationship with Jesus. I said, show up and work on your relationship with Jesus. Because quite frankly, that is the only way you'll ever be able to tolerate the church. Why? Because it's filled with people just like you and me. I discovered that at that work day when I was working with a man, and many of you have heard me say this before, I won't use the language he did. And I'm working alongside of him. I was assigned, right? I'm the young guy in his late 20s. Let's see. That's Brian. He's a little rough around the edges. Let's assign him to this guy. And that guy was a little rough around the edges, too. Solid, faithful man. Unfortunately, I did have the opportunity to celebrate his burial rite some years ago as a priest. This man who stood beside me on that work day, working on something, and smashed his thumb with his hammer, which brought out some language I knew very, very well. And I went, "These are my people." So yeah, we're good at looking good. And man, we strive to be good. See, Peter is speaking to the Gentiles. The good news he was sharing with them is through this Jesus Christ, whose death on a cross and his resurrection has opened up the door for all people. And that's what Peter is trying to say to this group. He says, "Then Peter began to speak to them, 'I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.'" Here's the funny thing. What is right is to strive after God's will. It doesn't say those who are perfect can come. In fact, if you're showing up to church perfect, well, you're probably in the right place so that we can help you figure out you're probably not. We are a gathering of people who need Jesus. We have a Savior because our Savior is necessary. Anyone who comes. He says, "You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." Peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. How many of us have too many other things in this world that are lording over us? You can name them. Probably some of them are the things you're thinking about right now, thinking, "I wish I was doing that." It could be any of these things. It could be what's happening at work. It could be your family. And I'm not going to say this to upset anybody. It could be your kids. Or your parents. We're a nuisance on purpose, by the way, in case you're unaware of that, if your kids are still little. It could be what's happening in the world. It could be your complete lack of understanding about what's happening in the world, which is also where I stand. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He, this Jesus, is Lord of all. Lord of all. Even your anxiety, your fears, the things that keep you afraid of the world or afraid of the life or, quite frankly, afraid of this place. Jesus is Lord over all of it. Now, something really amazing happened in this first century when Peter was preaching. See, that message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, this Jesus is still working and still moving. We hear about in the gospel this interactions that are coming, and we'll hear about through this season of Easter, these interactions with a risen Lord. Brothers and sisters, anybody in here had an interaction with your risen Lord? Well, that's not enough. How are we not interacting with our risen Lord? The Spirit of God is upon you. The Spirit of God is within you. The question is, are we tapping into it, or are we shoving it down so that we can grab a hold of whatever the world is showing us? Whatever that shiny thing is, or whatever that broken thing is, whatever it is that has your attention, brothers and sisters, the question is, could it just be the Spirit of God instead? I suspect there isn't a single person in here who doesn't want to see the world moving in peace. Amen? I mean, we want that. We live in a very strange and dangerous world. It hasn't changed very much, by the way. But that doesn't mean we have to follow it. We can follow this Jesus. We can move by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, and that can be our focus, and that's how we can move. So this peace of Jesus Christ becomes known in the world. I have yet to find a single person no matter what's coming out of their mouth at the moment, that when you stand there as the light of Christ, letting him shine through you, and you preach and speak and just share the love, the peace, and the grace, and the mercy of God, I have not yet found anyone who refuses it. Not one. Go looking for an encounter with the risen Lord. Now, I know a lot of people just didn't raise their hand because they're afraid somebody's going to see them raise their hand. So let me ask you again. How many of you have had an encounter with the risen Lord? You know that Jesus is within you by the power of the Spirit, and you've seen him move. Amen? Amen. Let's let that happen. Let's quit worrying about it. Yeah, we bow, we kneel, we don't generally wave our hands, so that's what makes us nervous in here. But what if it just doesn't matter? What if we just worshiped our Lord, knowing that this Jesus is exactly who Peter is saying he is, and he is this for us yet today? We can let go of whatever is pressing in on us, whatever this world is giving us, and we can move in the power of our Lord. Peter goes on to say, we are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. See, he had his encounter with this Jesus. This was prior to his death and resurrection. But there will be more encounters to come. In fact, Peter was so moved by this power of the Holy Spirit, he preached this sermon, and as he continued to preach, thousands came to know Jesus, people who weren't church people. Peter was so in touch with the movement of the power of the Holy Spirit, there became a time in his ministry when he would walk down the street, and the healing part of the Holy Spirit that indwelled him was at such a high level. People would pull their sick family members and friends out to the edge of the road so that his shadow would pass over them and heal them. Amen? This Jesus is still moving through the power of the Holy Spirit. This healing presence of God is real. You can say, well, I don't know that that's true. I can tell you, I know. I stand here as a product of the healing power of Jesus Christ. And only because of that, his grace and his mercy. See, Peter goes on and says, we've seen all these things. This is a paraphrase, by the way, in case you're reading along. We've seen all of these things. He's shown these things to us, and this risen Lord has come to a handful of us, but we know it to be true. You couldn't convince Peter otherwise, and you cannot convince me otherwise, because I've seen God move. I've seen him work. I have watched him heal. I've watched him transform people into who God intended them to be. I've watched people lay down addictions and pain and sorrow and pick up the joy of Christ. I have seen people walk through the most painful experiences of their life and still be able to breathe and to share the good news of this gospel, because there is a greater hope, brothers and sisters. There is so much more than what this world is offering you. The glory of this God is because we walk in it today with him. The glory of this God is we can get a glimpse of his intention for his kingdom. We get to get a glimpse of it. We have to do it in the midst of trials and tribulation. There is no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean he isn't here. And he's here for each one of us. He's already claimed you, by the way. You are already his, bought with his own blood. And he's calling out to say to you, you belong. He desires you. I know you go to church, and church usually says, well, we need you. Well, we all know what that means, don't we? We need to count you, tell you how many people were in church. We need to count you so we can pay the bills. Brothers and sisters, when we focus on what it is God wants, he handles all that too. We'll let him transform the lives. So let me say this. as a reminder to all who are here regularly and those who maybe just walked in here by mistake and are wondering why. God doesn't need you. He desires you. As a result of those who gather as his church who desire him and have experienced his desire for us, we cannot help but desire you to walk with him, to watch your life change, to see you grow and come to know more fully the fullness of this God. And Peter finishes in this section in verse 42, chapter 10 of Acts. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Through his name. And he commands those of us who understand and know this truth, say that to everyone else that we come in contact with. Let me testify to you. My standing here today is straight up a miracle. It's just a miracle. Most people who knew me 40 years ago, doesn't seem that long. My wife would say that's BS before Susan. People who knew me then probably think I'm dead, or at least in jail. It's only by the grace of God and the healing power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that I stand here with you to give God all the glory. I have a Savior because I need a Savior. This Jesus saved this life. It's my testimony to you. I don't stay awake at night wondering about what's going on in the world. I don't. I don't walk through life filled with anxiety. I don't care what the news people have to say. Quite frankly, I don't even believe them. What I believe is this. I have never been transformed in a good way by a news agency. But I can tell you this word of God has changed my life going on 3 generations now, because it just keeps working through your family. See, because God is good and he is here to offer this to each and every one of you. He desires you. Those of us who follow him, those of us who he's called to stand here and teach and preach to you, I tell you, I do this because I desire for you to know him like I know him. It is the thing that will change your life. Whatever it is in the world you're chasing after, come check with me. I bet I tried. So I stand here hearing what Peter heard, the commandment to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.